We all know how valuable photos and video clips of a loved one are. But have you thought about capturing their full story in their own words as an audio podcast or as a video? At GK Media, we've been working with families, hospices, and nursing homes across Ireland over the past 10 years to help preserve precious memories. We help you celebrate the voices, special moments, and wisdom of your loved ones by recording your meaningful conversations together. Record in our Galway studio, or we can travel to you bringing our own recording equipment. Whether it's a tribute, life story, or message for future generations, we capture it with care and compassion. Visit gkmedia.ie/legacy and let us help you tell the story that deserves to be remembered.
Hey everyone, just before we begin this week's episode, I have a quick favour to ask you all. If you love the show, it would mean so much if you could take a moment to follow or subscribe wherever you're listening to right now, or share it with a friend, tell them all about it, or leave a quick comment. And when you see the videos on social media, please comment there too, because it really, really helps me to keep this podcast going. Thank you all so, so much. So hi, we are joined today by Dermot Joyce. Dermot, you're so welcome to Galway.
Thank you.
Nice to see you here. You are a Mayo man, but living in Tipperary, is that correct?
Yeah.
What part of Tipperary?
Kerr.
Oh yeah, very good. So you've ended up down there, and I would love to maybe find out about how you ended up down there. So if we go back to a day in, was it in Dublin where you met the lovely Audrey?
No, I was working in Clamel.
You're in
Clamel? In 1996.
Okay.
And that's where I met Audrey.
Where did you meet her?
At work.
At work?
At work, yeah. It's a bit of an odd one. I was working, we were working in a computer factory. I was out in the warehouse. She was inside in the clean room. And I think the first words I said to her could have been a bit of abusive. because I was talking into a hatch.
Yeah.
To them inside in the clean room, and it was usually two lads we were dealing with, so we were always having a bit of banter. Like, when I looked inside in through the hatch, there was I know now it was Audrey. At the time I didn't know who it was, because all I could see was eyes, because they were all gowned up because they're inside in the clean room. So that's where it all started. Spent a few weeks there just talking to her. Still didn't know what she looked like outside.
Stop.
Because
did you see the eyes?
Yeah. didn't know what she looked like, because we were on different breaks and stuff like that. And then she would just go home. So it took a few weeks to put a face to who I was talking to all the time.
So you spent a few weeks talking to her before you even got to see what she looked like at all?
Yeah. bit crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I say I was talking to her probably from November, and it wasn't really until, I would have known her face and that, like, but then that was November 96 and we had our first night out, and February 97.
Okay.
So
you asked her out, obviously.
We said we'd meet up some night.
Okay.
Yeah, and you met up. We were all going out and we met up, and so the rest is history, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you started dating then, obviously.
Yeah.
So what was Audrey like, tell me?
Oh, she was just the best.
Good crack? You know,
good crack, yeah. Down to earth. Easy to talk to, get on with, and just all around good person.
Yeah. And so you went on your date then, and you started dating.
Yeah.
Where did that take you to?
Different place. Well, we were dating away, and then after a year, the factory decided to close down, so we kind of have a decision to make, and we started looking for work, and that took us to Dublin. It was the first time Audrey had left home. And big move, big decision to make. We were only going out with each other for just over a year, but we said, look, we'll give it a shot. And we had said, wherever we'd end up, we'd try and do it together. So we went to Dublin, took a house in Lucan, and she was working in HP. I was working in a warehousing company. So different, both doing shift work. So it's kind of hard, you know, coming and going different times. But we did that for 5 years. Then kind of getting itchy feet, deciding Dublin's expensive. Her mom had got sick, not very sick, but her brother and sister had been moved away from home. One was in Limerick, one was in Cork at the time. And she just kind of felt she was real homebird anyhow. So she kind of, the fact that her mother got sick and there was no one there to be with her, she kind of wanted to get back home. So we decided to move back down to care.
Mm.
So we did that in 2003. At the same time, unknown to her, I had gone about getting an engagement ring. And I said unknown to her, we were down Tip for a funeral. And on the way back up, my phone rang. It was the days before Bluetooth and stuff, so I just said, oh, you answer that. And people on the phone said, is that Mr. Joyce? And she said, yeah, he can't come to the phone right now. I said, okay, this is the jeweler's. He'll just tell him your ring, his ring is ready.
You're kidding me.
No.
I could see that coming.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What so, did she say?
Oh, sure. She was like a dog with a bone all the way up. Like, it was like, okay, who's this for? Is that your brother? Is that my brother? Who? And I'm going, I can't tell you. But like that, we were still an hour to go. And I thought, oh, Christ, we're going to get through this and all the way up. Just, who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Can't tell.
Oh, so she thought you were setting it up for someone else?
Yeah.
Ah, very good.
So, but like, just got home that evening, still the same. So I just, I can't do this. Like, I had no plan even at that stage. Just said, get a ring, we'll start. Everything else will work itself out. But I just said, now is time as good as time as any. It's just sitting at home.
Yeah.
In the house together.
Yeah.
So I proposed. She said, yeah. Then she said, we have to go and tell me dad, or her dad, before we tell anybody else. So we did that then again the next weekend. And then and within a week we had, most of the stuff was arranged. We bought a house all in period of, I'd say, a month.
Wow. No flies in ye.
No, sure, if you make a decision.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, things.
Full steam ahead.
Things fall into place.
So, okay. So you got married then?
We moved into our house in May 2004. And we got married in September 2004. Oh, wow. Sorry, no, we moved into the house in 2004. Mm. May, and then we got married. So we got married, I got engaged in 2003, got married in 2004.
Okay, very good.
Things moved along. And then 8 years later, after a lot of work, Jack came along. And life was good. Things were getting on. I was working in construction, so I was away from home a lot. So
you had baby Jack.
We had baby Jack, and I said,
were you delighted with him when he came
out? He was a long time coming, and a lot of work went into getting him.
Oh.
And we just said, she'd take as much time as she could. And then while she was on maternity leave, she got the opportunity to take redundancy. And we just said, with the way I was working and she was on shift work, it just made more sense that she'd take the redundancy and just spend the time with Jack while he was small, because like with both of us doing silly hours and her doing shift work, and I said, me being away from home, it just made more sense.
Yeah.
And so that was the way we worked it. Then we were getting ready to go away for a weekend in March 2016. I think we were going to Park Nacilla. And she just called me upstairs on Saturday morning and said that she felt a lump on her breast, and kind of looked at it, and there wasn't actually, it was more like a dimple.
Okay.
Then a lump, and we just said, look, it's Saturday morning, there's nothing we can do. So we go away for the weekend and said, when we come back Monday, so you can ring the doctor and we'll see. We'll go from there. Like, so we went off and we had our weekend. Now, we didn't pay too much attention, you know, said, well, I didn't, Daniel, maybe, you might have been more thinking about it than I was. But anyway, she went to the doctor on the Tuesday, and doctor referred her to for further investigation. So that following Tuesday, we met the surgeon in Cork for the ultrasounds and scans, and he did some biopsies, and he didn't even wait. He said that without even having the biopsies back, he'd be 100% sure that it was cancer. And that he was so confident, he recommended that we make an appointment for the oncologist. So that happened following Tuesday. The confirmations of the cancer was given officially. And we met with the oncologist, and the program was put in place for treatment.
So tell me, when she got that diagnosis, both of you, how was that for you?
Ah, sure. Look, it's devastating. Like, it just, your whole world is thrown upside down, and you just don't know. Like, it's, you know, you hear so much stuff and you try to be positive, and it's just, it all happens so fast, and it's just, the team were incredible. Like, you didn't hardly even have time to think, because it was like, this appointment was being made, and it's just, you're on the roller coaster before you even know. Mm. You're not asked, you don't have you're like put on and strapped in, and without your permission, if you understand.
Yeah, off you go.
And off you go, and they made a plan. This was to be 8 sessions of chemotherapy over a 16-week period, then for mastectomy, and then for radiation. So
she was happy enough with that plan?
Yeah, she's very open minded. She never got, obviously she was upset and that, but like, it was like, fine, okay, I have it, we're going to beat it.
And okay.
Positive.
That was her attitude.
Positivity from the start.
Really?
Yeah.
So she fully believed that I am going to beat this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I had the first chemotherapy session 4 weeks after the first doctor's appointment.
Mm. So quick. No hanging around.
Look, we were lucky enough to be in a position that we have health insurance and stuff. So maybe it helped, maybe it didn't. I believe that once you get into the system, either way.
Mm. It's pretty good care for the public too.
Pretty good care for there as well. And I think they're getting better that way as well, like, you know, to be fair.
When they give you the diagnosis of cancer, did they tell you it was an aggressive form, or did they say?
They didn't say it was aggressive.
Did they give you a stage, you know, the way they give
stage two.
Stage two.
Yeah, so yeah, said like, they were fully confident, like, treatable.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay.
So I went through first chemo session and pretty horrendous on the body. I'm sure you know from different thing, pretty sick, back down in, just to mind her that she got so sick from the first one, just to
really?
Mind her. Yeah. But bounce back. So we had chemo on Tuesday. They had said, look, to be fair, Dan, they were spot on, said, you'll have chemo Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you should be okay. Come the weekend, you'll be on the floor.
Okay.
Which
it's just obviously the type of chemo that she was having.
Yeah.
It was quite strong.
Yeah. But that's what they had told us, that it would be like that. And then for the second kind of week before the next thing, if you want to do it and plan for the following weekend, it should be good.
Okay.
And that's the way it turned out. Like, yeah, for the whole 16 weeks, you'd have good week, bad week. So then look, Jack was coming on 4. Didn't really understand. All the cousins the same. They were a bit young. They knew she was sick, but kids at that age, they don't pay too much attention. So we didn't have to worry too much about stuff.
Mm.
Before the second chemo one, we had a family wedding, and she just breezed through it like as if there was nothing wrong. Like, you couldn't, if you were there, you wouldn't believe that the 2 weeks she was after putting down, like, it was just incredible. Like,
mm.
So progress through that second chemo, the hair started coming off in the brush. So she said, look at this, like, this is not going to get in me. So she went and got her head shaved. She didn't wait.
And how was that for her? Big moment, emotional, I'm sure.
Yeah, her sister Claire brought her. Yeah, tough. Tough on us all.
Really?
To see, you know, up till that point, you knew she was sick, but it kind of, it, now she had the visible signs, you know. She came home, not about her, brought, Jack was there, rubbed her head and went off about his business. No better, brought over. Her brother lives just not far away, and her mom was across town, so everyone came to the house and had a look. The kids didn't pay much, as I said, didn't pay much attention. Dylan would have been, what, 7, 8?
Yeah.
The oldest. Off.
Nephew.
The oldest nephew, and he'd be our godchild. But they all came, had a look, but as I said, didn't pay. Kind of laughed and had their jokes and went out about their business. So went through all the chemos and said, took your good weeks, your bad weeks, then for when you knew you were having your good weekends, you plan something and have a bit of normality for those weekends. Progressed through the summer, had the break from the chemo, then come to September, had the mastectomy.
That's a big
deal. Big deal, but incredibly positive. Audrey's incredibly positive about it. She's looked pretty, so it needs to be done. This gives me my best chance and
we do it. Double mastectomy?
Single,
okay.
Yeah. That in time we can reconstruct and stuff, and we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Did them, then another break for recovery, and then coming up to Christmas, before Christmas 16, she had the 15 rounds of radiation, which was up and down to Cork every day, which she drove most of them herself.
Did she?
Yeah.
I was just thinking that because every single day, like, life goes on in that you have to work and pay bills, and, you know, that's really difficult.
Yeah.
And she had to drive herself, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Well, that was, it was.
She probably wanted a bit of freedom of the
choice,
car. Yeah.
No, there was always
lifts available.
You would have gone 10 times a day with the amount of lifts that was, but her dad went with her.
Yeah.
And sit and read the paper, and, you know, that was probably his way of helping and.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, like, 'cause they're incredibly close family, so it would have been tough on them as well, like, you know. So, and her brother did some, I did some, sister did some. So, look, the same as every other. And then, so I have a rest, just all finished by Christmas. Everybody's happy out, consultant's fine. Do some recovery, then back after Christmas to take on things. He recommended the possibility, or asked about, would she be willing to do a clinical trial for, obviously, clinical trials are obviously for new drugs and stuff. So he said, look, so there's nothing to lose by doing it other than the time that it would cost. It was next, okay, you have to go down for an appointment once a month for the whole year, but the way we looked at it was, it's 12 more months of monitoring. At this stage, she had been diagnosed as cancer-free at the beginning of 2017. So she said, we'll take the, should she do the trial? She was positive and wanted to give her a bit back, as in, if it can help somebody, why not? And I said, the security blanket of having the extra monitoring was there in the back of your mind anyway. So through 2017, up and down, no issues. Again, come the end of the trial, all is good. again, no sign of anything. Started 2018, all through it, 18, fine. Coming in 2019, started into thinking about reconstruction and giving the body time to recover and that, because just talking about doing that, and then we said, look, we'll leave it for another year, we'll do it in 2020, was her plan, that Jack would be doing his communion in 2021, so she'd do her surgery, she'd be recovered, and all would be good, hopefully. That was the plan. We had 2017, 2008, all through this, where we could, we took our holidays, life went on as normal. I continued to work. Obviously, when I need to be at home, I was at home. If I couldn't, there was always somebody there to help anyways. There was no... Now, I found it difficult at the start to accept the help. I thought I could do everything myself, you know, but I learned to get it, to just take the help, you know, and it's effort.
You were trying to juggle it all while she was sick?
Yeah. Just trying to...
So you said you didn't need any help?
Thought I didn't need any help. No, there was plenty of help there. Anyone. During all this, then my mum was sick. My mum had COPD. So she had been 2019 in and out of hospitals here in Galway, actually. The bands and the clinic. And I came October, end of September 2019, we brought her home, and they were at palliative stage at this stage, and here we were dealing with the Galway Hospice, and then we had to link in with the Mayo Hospice just to get things going, so we started getting that going, and I was back to down to work. I was working in Cork, then I'm back down to work on the Thursday after getting some phone calls done, and hospice team, while they hadn't had the notes from transferred over from Galway, had, she was in the system. So it's fine. Got a call on Saturday morning saying things weren't good, we need to get back up. So back up on Saturday. Odd and Jack stayed at home. They said, look, and see how it goes, and they'll follow up. And she died on the Monday night.
Okay.
And
were you there with her?
Yeah. And you know, it was lovely, actually. You know, especially when you think of what was to come the following year.
What was that like for you, losing your mum?
It's just like everybody loses their mum. It's not nice.
It's tough.
It's tough, but you kind of, you know, you go into automatic mode nearly for the first few days. You know, there's stuff to be organized, stuff to be done. And around the same time, Audrey was doing her fitness classes in her couple of times a week, and that, but she seemed to have constant pain in her shoulder. I mean, she just sort of was from the classes and stuff like that. So, didn't take much notice. She's going to physio, but never seemed to knock it on the head. Like, and between my mum passing away and stuff like that, we didn't. She was scheduled then for our normal yearly scans in January. So, she had gone to the doctor and about the pains, that she just couldn't shake him with painkillers or with the physio. So the doctor said, look, your scans are due, whatever, the end of January. She said, we'll get onto them and see, can they bring them forward just to double check him. So did the scans just after Christmas 2020, and back down on the 15th of January. And they told us the cancer was back in the bones, and it wasn't treatable, that they could just manage it. So then they said, we need you to come in now. So she didn't even come home that day. We went to the shops. To get pajamas and the essentials for the first night. Obviously then, this is, you're down early in the morning, they need to come in if we can get a bed.
What was that blow like? Just the two of you when you heard those words? Were you in an office with the doctor when they told you that? It's not treatable.
Yeah, we were in just a room, so it wasn't even the clinic room in the band. So.
What do you do with that information?
You don't, I don't even process it at the time. I was like, you ask, I was like, what are we talking like? And in fairness now, her oncologist, even the first time he'd asked, now his first time he said, yes, it's manageable or it's treatable and that's the game, that's the plan. This time he said, we'll just manage it for however we can. He said, give me a target. So when we said, like, what kind of, he said, sure, we want to target 10 years time. And he just said, you know, we'd let more realistic one for now. And we just said, well, he says, Ratten big come. I said, well, so Jack's communion is scheduled for May 2021. So he said, okay, that's our initial target. So so we came up with a plan. She's in hospital for a week or two after that, just to, again, they start chemo tablets this time, but took a while to get the right one and other bits and pieces, infections and stuff that started coming and that. Obviously, you know, to have to ring. Everything happened so fast, like, just not even able to tell family face to face, like, just after ring family and say, look, this is after, this is the story. Oh, and by the way, can you hold on to Jack for another while? And stuff, you know, it's tough. But treatment plan in place, anyone that said, all was going good with treatment, up and down to Cork. And then the big COVID came along.
Yeah.
But to be fair, it never, other than she having to just go for the treatments herself. Now, I was doing up and down to the hospital, but I couldn't get in.
Right, okay.
There was never an appointment missed.
Yeah.
Or delayed or anything. Okay, might get delayed during the days, but other than that, now plenty of COVID tests.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine.
Never a thing. And you had asked earlier about processing my mum. I don't know that I ever have the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because other shit kicked in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so, and I still don't know if I'm honest, if I ever have.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It was all go.
So.
There's no breathing room there.
Yeah.
That's a huge blow to go into this cancer returning and to be told that.
Yeah.
They're only going to try and manage it.
Yeah.
Something I've been thinking about a lot lately is how grief lives in our body. It's not just in our minds. It settles into your chest, your shoulders, your stomach. It can feel so heavy. And I know that stuck feeling because I was stuck for years myself. The only thing that helped me begin to lift myself out of that hole, even a tiny bit, was movement. But I had to go really gently at the beginning. I just had no motivation to get up and do a workout. That's why I wanted to share something that might help. It's called EcoFitness, and it's a beautiful, gentle online movement space created by Corina Duffy. Corina's been at rock bottom herself, and so she's created this with people like you in mind. especially if you're grieving or going through something hard. This isn't about pushing yourself or chasing big fitness goals. I imagine that's the last thing on your mind at the moment. It's for the days when you're in your pajamas or maybe even in tears. It's about moving just enough to feel a tiny bit better, to reconnect with your body in the gentlest way. EcoFitness gives you 4 live 30-minute gentle workouts each week, a full-on-demand library, and thoughtful coaching messages to help build small, healthy habits, especially through life's tougher moments. Karina is offering the listeners to this podcast a 30-day free trial of her app, and I'd really encourage you to just give it a try. There's a link in the show notes. Just click through to get started. You can cancel anytime, no pressure, just an invitation. If you're feeling stuck, this could be a gentle place just to begin. So visit the show notes, click on the link and give it a go.
And how was she all this time herself up to this point in terms of pain? Was it affecting her in her bones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as I said, it was only the end of 2019 that she complained about it. Like, so, you know, but yeah, it was affected. But then to be fair, it treatment started, it was working fine. We had the best summer we could have had, given the circumstances that what was happening in the country. Actually, I think when we could, we went away.
All of us,
as a family, staycations. Yeah.
But it was probably lovely in some ways. It was nice and quiet and you got a lot of time together on your own.
Yeah. So.
What age was Jack at this stage?
Jack would have been turned 7.
Okay. So he knew mommy was sick again.
He knew she was sick and a lot more aware.
Yeah.
Not sure if at that stage we had told him or any of the kids what it was. We had spoke obviously to the Daffodil centres and stuff like that to see what they said, and said, look, basically it's up to each individual thing. There's pros and cons for both.
Mm-hmm.
As in, do you mention the type of disease or anything like that? So
with the kids, yeah.
With the kids. But there's, including Jack, we'll say there's 6 on Audrey's side. There's 2 smallies on my side, but the Ronan was only a year. And actually, it was 2 now. It wasn't even, Roisin wasn't there at the time. So they, where they wouldn't have known any better anyhow. So
yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Jack was just gone 7. But Jack had been, we had waked my mum at home. When we waked up her home, and then she was over to the community centre and then back over to the community centre for the shaking hands part, as Jack says.
Yeah.
And, but he was, hindsight's wonderful.
Yeah.
He was familiar with that. The setup.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was in and out to granny and no fear. Brilliant. No fear to go near her. And
yeah.
And he was told if he wanted to touch her, that he could. So back into 2020, start of 2021, the pains were getting more severe, more common, I suppose, or more often.
Yeah.
And, she'd have this pain, fragments like there in your shoulder.
Yeah.
And we'd go back down, look, new pain here. And do a scan, nothing there.
Okay.
And then go back down 2 weeks later, pain is still there, but now there's a spot. So I suppose the best way to put it, I think they were, it started to become aggressive. And to me, they were always chasing.
Okay.
If you understand.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
It's not a criticism of that.
No, I understand what you mean.
It's just what her body was telling her.
It's coming.
It's coming before it could be seen.
Okay. Yeah. And they couldn't keep up with it.
And they just couldn't, they couldn't get ahead.
Was she still on the chemo then at this stage?
They had changed. It was just tablet-like.
Maintenance chemo, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, yeah, just trying to there was chemo tablets, and then there was bone infusions just to try and stabilize things, yeah, and prevent any further
occurrences.
Mm. But yeah, so pains were getting worse. The hospitalizations were coming more frequent. In around April, she started to notice problems with her vision. Again, every eye man in Cork came in to have a look, couldn't see anything, they couldn't understand. Everything looked okay. Back in again at the end of April, and there's another one at the back of the eye.
Wow, she was so ahead of it herself.
Yeah. And then just constant pain.
So at the back of the eye, was that then it moving to her brain? Or was it just on
just
the eye?
Just another spot at the back of the eye.
Okay.
And no, because they had like, I'd say she's had two or three spinal taps at this stage, like, and nothing there.
Okay.
You know, and look, fairly cognizant of what's going on. And
yeah. How was she, every time she was going in there saying there's another spot here, there and everywhere? What was that breaking her spirit like?
Do you know, I don't think it's a broke her spirit. Now, maybe internally I had to, but she'd never.
She wouldn't say.
Now, okay, why me and stuff like that, like, but always fought with grace and dignity and never really, you know, as I said, you wouldn't be human if you didn't say why me now and again. Looks like we all do it.
Yeah.
And but yeah, then just middle of May to 2021, the pains where she couldn't get out of bed. And we rang the hospital now all through, but even back in the initial diagnosis, they were just super. We had direct lines to the ward on anything, day or night, just ring us.
Lovely.
And you'd have advice over the phone, or if not, we're still in trouble, come down, we'll check if we have a bed, come down. Mm-hmm. I said, well, it mightn't be, doesn't matter, come down.
Mm-hmm.
Same then. And then we just rang them. I said, look, she needs to get in. That's fine. I said, but we can't. I said, we're trying to organize our own ambulance. That said, she won't make it in the car. We can't. It'd be too discomforting in the car. They just said, no, I said, sit tight. We'll sort everything. So the ambulance came, just as lad was coming from school.
Oh.
So she's in the ambulance when he came home, so he didn't have to watch her coming down the stairs. Well, he went in. She was talking and all that, and then off she went in the ambulance. And at the time, we were in a level 5 lockdown.
Jeez.
So they said, obviously, no visitors. But then after a day or two, they said, look, they were waiting to make sure that Audrey didn't have COVID. Then they said, look, you can have visitors. I think they said immediate family, whatever. And said Jack was welcome anytime. Now, Jack had been up and down to the hospital all the time. He was, you'd go out and you'd talk to a doctor, a nurse, you come back into the room, he's inside like Lord Mookie's eating ice cream and he had drinks everywhere. They was just so good to him. Like, and we'd go down and sometimes we'd make a day with him. We'd get the bus into town, me and him, while we'd have somebody else with us that would stay with Odd, and we'd distract him that way. And, you know,
mm.
He's still a kid. you have to look after him as well. But then, yeah, they rang and said, look, they said, you can have, once you're all okay, you can have access one visitor, maybe two at a time.
Yeah.
But you need to ring ahead.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So look, we just said, that's fine. We're not going to abuse the system either. So we just said, family will go. And that was it. Now, it was friends were asking, with more extended family.
Yeah.
Could again, we just said, no, we'll.
Yeah, yeah.
But pretty severe pain. And then they just said, look, it says, we can't do anything more for her, that our best option is for hospice. So we moved to Marymount on the 7th of June. Back then again, another 5 days quarantine.
Oh, God. Oh, she was quite poorly at this stage.
She was in pretty bad pain at that stage. Even when you'd be talking to her on the phone, it's like, the pain any better today? Now, in fairness, they said, look, so we know she is. We're trying.
Mm.
But we're finding it hard because it's...
To manage it.
It's getting us at every angle. So then at this stage, they had said they didn't even bother with the vision thing. They didn't even bother that with what we can see, that it's likely in the spine and the spinal fluid at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the bank holiday Monday. They said 5 days. They rang on the Thursday and said, the Wednesday, Thursday, said, me and Jack can go down. So off we went, Dennis. Jack, do you want to come? At this stage, he had been asking more questions. And in fairness, we were open to everybody. I was very open with it, with our friends and stuff. Sorry, doubling back a little bit.
No, that's okay.
And she had kept them all informed. Maybe with COVID, that was harder. She couldn't get visits. Now, we still let some in and stuff like that. And I took over her friends group and I kept them updated. But he had been asking questions. And I think we had told them that she had cancer. And that kind of left it there. And they did say one night that, I think my mom is going to die. That was around the beginning of May. I said, I didn't say no. I never said no. I never said yes. I says, she might, but hopefully not anytime soon. Something like that. Like, and this, kids are a great way of fucking this shit at you when you're putting them to bed.
Yeah, they do.
It's
that's when it all comes out.
Yeah. That was Thursday. Sorry, back up to June. Thursday down. Good form. A lot of pain, but talking away. Friday down, very sleepy. The meds, still chopping and chain. Again, still we only have, you can have three visitors, but only two at a time.
And were you allowed to stay however long you wanted? Or was it like...
Yeah. Now we had, myself and I had spoke. So yeah, we were allowed to spend once in, yeah, to be fair.
Once you
either hospital,
there,
yeah.
They
once
left
you're
you
there,
alone.
There was no panic, no in or out. But we had talked and obviously Jack was number one. And he was the most important out of the three of us. So I used to go to school. I'd go down and I'd leave when he'd be finishing school. So he'd have an hour with either Patrick's family, his wife, Dre's, or with the childminder. And I'd be still say trying to be home for five, and we have our tea, whatever, and we'd have our time together for a few hours before he goes to bed. And we had that was discussed. And that was the way that was going to be.
Audrey wanted that for him.
Yeah. So we went down Saturday. We had arranged, they had said, you can have three on Saturday. Myself, and I rang Claire, said, you can come down. So she came in from Dungarvan, and I rang her brother Patrick, and he had said, he'll go, and then he rang back and said, no, I'll wait, and I'll go with Mam and Dad tomorrow. I said, that's fair enough. I said, you can go on Sunday, and I'll wait till Monday. So went down Saturday. She was in flying form. You'd hardly think she was sick. Sat up, great chats. But she knew from a week or two before that things were going.
She did.
Yeah. So that Saturday, she discussed it. She told us what she wanted for her funeral. I always had a notebook just in case there was questions. The one fucking day I didn't have a notebook. But we managed, we remembered everything. But that was the last proper full day's conversations we had. That she just deteriorated, and just the pain and probably just the meds really. That was Saturday. Down Monday, could see again, gradual. They knew the time was coming, so we said we need to tell the kids.
Yeah.
So we did. Had to sit there and tell. Your little boy dies, Mom was going to pass away. What did he do with his cousins? It's to with Waterford cousins. They were still home in Waterford. They couldn't make it up. Somebody had decided. Somebody had mentioned he can go outside down the back of the garden. We're in Patrick's house. And you can curse in the corner if you want. So they did. Best thing ever. Great advice, guys.
Yeah.
Bring a curse in the corner.
Oh.
And home to our house, myself and Jack. And don't forget, went in the door. As we normally, he sits on the stairs, takes off his shoes. He goes, Dad. I said, yeah. He says, you know when Mum, you know, he says, can I have her phone? So I said, you can.
Poor Dottie.
Then we then sat down, and as I said earlier, he had been around when my man died.
Yeah.
And so I just told, so he sat down, he goes, you know when Mum dies? I says, yeah. I says, we put her here. We put the coffin here. We'll do it this way. The people who come into the room this way, they've got a room that way. So I said, fair enough.
He was happy to be involved.
Yeah. But he had been always involved. We had, every time we come home from an appointment, he was given the, he said, when's your next one? And he'd go upstairs and he'd write it on his calendar.
Okay.
So nothing was too surprising to him. So that was the Saturday 12th, and up and down the following week. And we got, I said, and he was up and down as well. And I said, it was always his decision. I said, if you want to come, you want to come. If you don't, that's fine. And then I had discussed, I said, you know, I said, we could get a phone call in the middle of the night. I says, if we do, do you want to come? And he just said, no. And I said, that's fair enough. So then the following Saturday morning, the 19th June, the phone call came. And they said, look, we think you should come down. So phone calls from Ed. So Jack's trying to call me. He said, no. I said, fine. Off to your cousin's. And we went down. She was nice and peaceful at this stage. They had got on top of everything, so it was fine, you know. We were sitting around there chatting. And doctors came in. Again, still just changing from level 5 to level whatever.
Yeah.
We didn't care. All apologies. People saying, look, this is, we have no food for you. We have no this. We're very sorry. I said, geez, don't be worrying. Like, we're fine. And they came in and said, we're making arrangements that someone can stay tonight. Like, said, like this could, we could unfortunately be like this for a week. Like,
yeah.
Or more. We just don't know.
Yeah.
But somebody can stay tonight if they want. That was at about 1:30 in the afternoon. She passed away at 2:20.
Wow.
Just.
She was ready to go.
Turned around. Actually, no, just mentioned that one. On the Saturday before that, the good day we had.
Yeah.
Claire was in the room and we did say, look, God says, if you see the light, says, run to it. And she says, I'm not ready. So then we.
How would you ever be ready?
Yeah.
To leave it all behind.
We got her home. That was 2:20 Saturday night. We had her home in the house by about 9:30. And, you know, bad news travels fast.
Sure does. this country anyway.
Came home, went out to Undertaker, said, we're on the way. And went out. Knew he was coming. All the neighbours were out in the road. So he came in. They said we didn't care about regulations. Who was supposed to be where and how many people were supposed to be in the room. We just let things go naturally. But as I said earlier, we've been up to keep people updated and people are asking, can we do this? Can we do that? I just put out a message on the Sunday morning. I said, the front door is open, people. Anybody that wants to come to the house is welcome. Because we still weren't supposed to have funerals and open funeral homes and stuff like that. So we said, all day people are coming. But her friends got to come and sit with her. No rush. They had their tea in the sitting room with her. As laid out as Jack's wishes. And yeah, we had funny, odd thing to say, but a lovely couple of days. There with her, you know.
How was Jack when you told him the news, I suppose, and got to see her and all that?
He was obviously, look, we had loads of tears the first night, but he went to school the next morning. After we went, school had known from a long time back. So he went off to school. In school all that week, actually, because there was no reason not to.
Yeah, yeah. It's good for them, I suppose. Yeah.
And so she was. At her home Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night.
He was comfortable around her.
Oh, yeah. To be fair, they all were. You know,
what age was Jack at that time? Sorry.
8.
When she passed, 8.
Yeah. Incredible strength.
Yeah, for a little boy.
Yeah. Incredible strength.
Sad, able to feel the sadness, but also able to.
But I think it's gone back to the learnings, you know, had seen it with his granny.
Yeah. Prepared him in a way, I suppose.
Then Monday night, before the funeral mass, we had to allocate 50 places to the church. Now, to be fair, the priest said, the camera is up there. So if you're not in the camera shot, I don't mind. So we live about a kilometre from the church. So we walk down and the crowds. Did okay going down? Just as you turn into church, you go up a little hill. It's kind of, there's a blind spot there. All his school friends were there. Russell.
So moving.
Yeah, but look, we got through it. We had a celebration out the back. Actually, she was buried the day before her 51st birthday.
Oh, God.
So, Ollie's favourite colour was purple, lilac. So they let 51 lilac balloons go as we left the house. And fucking balloons flew over were flown over the church when we got to the church. Just one of those things. We went back, we had a celebration.
Is that what she said she wanted?
Yeah. Well, we couldn't go anywhere, so we had to do it. Now, in fairness, the hotel did offer it. She said, look, no. We'll do it at home. In her garden. Because she loved her garden.
Did she?
Yeah. And we had the room. And we had family friends that were able to cater for it. And they had all the tables. And so we fed 80 people. But we had, might sound a bit weird, but it was lovely.
It's nice to hear that. Because it's so heartbreaking, but even to hear.
It's heartbreaking, but she was celebrated.
Yeah.
So, and even all the anniversaries since, everything's been in the garden. Now she must have been in a bad mood this year because it rained. For a little while. So somebody must have upset her and said, you're not celebrating without me. But yeah.
Did she love a party?
Oh yeah.
Did she?
Yeah. Front and centre of them all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that was Wednesday. Made a decision between us as a family that the best thing would be the kids in national school, 2 days left, would be for them to go back just to break the ice. So they did. I was home that Jack was going to school. I was home. I said, I was just
lost.
Lost because all the stuff on the calendar was no good no more. Of nowhere to be. What the fuck happens next?
Yeah.
So we took 5 or 6 weeks off. And then I had to get back to work. More so for me, head.
Yeah.
And to get back, and I wanted to have to be back into, and in the meantime, all of this, because of COVID, Jack had missed his communion. Or sorry, Jack's communion didn't happen.
Yeah.
And I just said, no, I need to get back. We need to, before he goes back to school, we need to be in a routine between childminders and everything.
Mm.
So we did back at school a few weeks, and got a phone call from the school, and he said, just to give you a heads up, that Jack is not himself. He said, and she said, it wasn't even me that noticed. She said, it was some of the other teachers just in the air said, he's not his usual self. So we had a chat with him and rang various agencies of the state. And the consensus was not enough time had passed that he doesn't know what's happening. So we said, yeah, thanks, lads. So we rang Marymount. There was a counsellor there. I didn't know until after the fact that she had actually been talking to Jack one day while I was talking to the doctors.
Wow.
That which she had gone in to audit and he was there. So we went down to meet her.
Yeah.
And sat down, put a program in place. She does play therapy.
Mm.
Brilliant stuff. I was in the room. Not so brilliant. But to hear him express himself.
Really?
Yeah.
Could put words on it.
Yeah. She asked, she had a book. A booklet. Go through the booklet. She does it over the, depending on the child, she can do it over so many sessions.
Mm.
And she asked them various different questions. Like, mm. She asked them, what was the hardest part of the funeral for you? And without a fucking him and no waiting, he says, when they put the lid on the coffin, because I knew that's the last time it's here. I says, we're not in a good place if the counsellor has tears in her eyes. But
that's heartbreaking.
It's, yes, but you know, you knew then he was going to be okay.
Because he could talk.
Because he can talk. And he can talk. And he still talks. So then we had done our, actually, we'd gone away for a few days before they went all went back to school. Like I said, there's kids there. Life has to go on, unfortunately. And we had done our few days staycation. Back then, look, we went through that guided by, as we always were, by the professionals. And she had done the eight sessions, went through the book, and she said, look, we think he's okay, that he's well able to express himself, which we knew, and we're always there if you need us. And thankfully, we haven't been back. I did think then that was so. End of 2019, granddad gets sick. Audrey's dad.
Oh no.
He's diagnosed with prostate cancer. Back on the fucking bus again.
Mm.
Got through 2021.
Yeah.
He got sick. 2022. All good. Okay. Getting a bit more tired towards the end of the year. Not sure. I think we would have gone. Well, actually, we all went to Westport for a week. We took a house in Westport. We usually try and go this. Get the numbers right now because it's less of us. 12 of us. 13 of us. We got a house in Westport. We went for a week. So granddad and granny on Audrey's side were there. It was obviously. We all went to my dad's on the way to Westport for our lunch. We said, and, but getting a bit more down towards the end of 2022. And still celebrate Christmas, no better, all good, out. And, just got sicker then again at the end of January, and he went was taken to hospital by ambulance. And fortunately, I wasn't thinking, I was at home today, and Granny rang, said, look, can you come over? Claire was working, Patrick was working. I just, for some reason, I can't remember why I was home, but I was home. And I said, he's not well, I'm after ringing the ambulance, can you come over? And I said, Jack, we have to go to Granny's, not even thinking. I said, not again, like, it's, if he's watching somebody else go off in the ambulance. But that was Tuesday, and he passed away on the Thursday night, Friday morning.
God.
So, like, that's three big traumas
for Jack
in his life at
such a young age.
But look, no better than they sat down, they wrote his own prayers for granddad. And we carry on.
Great little boy, isn't he?
Yeah. Tremendous. So, there we are.
Well, here I am now in ribbons. Jesus. It's really sad. I hear stories all the time. It's really very sad. It's a little boy like that, you know. It's just...
Yeah, but
yourself as well.
I get... I get my strength, I get a lot of my strength from him, but I think I'd be strong anyhow.
Yeah.
But then again, people say, geez, you're very strong. And then I go, well, don't have any fucking choice, really.
No, I know.
You know, but it is.
But just, you know, that lovely saying, just because it's strong doesn't mean it's not heavy.
Oh, I know. Like, it's,
you know?
Yeah, so people don't see the heavy shit. Like,
yeah.
You know, this year now, his communion was fine, you know, but it's always there, like the fucking milestones. It's not right that she's not here to celebrate. And like, and this year it's been just horrendous with a lot going on. His confirmation, he's going from primary to secondary, and you're picking subjects, and it's just, you're fucking, you know, your person's not there to bounce stuff off, and you're trying to make sure you get it right from her, because that's what you'd want. And it's just,
you feel the pressure of that
at times. It's not constant, but yeah, you just love to have someone to bounce stuff off. Now I have people you can bounce stuff off, but it's just not the same without your person, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So now, look, I go out, we have good times, but I just say, I have my own saying that you can be having good times, but there's still a bit of shittiness in it.
Mm-hmm. Forevermore.
Forevermore. And no matter whatever good time you have, I go home and there's still nobody in the bed beside me.
Lonely.
I
often hear people who's lost a partner say the loneliness is...
No, I don't. It's... Maybe it is loneliness. I wouldn't have put it down, but it's just, you know, it's just...
It's just that other person.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes, your person is not there.
Your other half, yeah.
Yeah.
And to do the job of being a parent alone is really difficult.
Yeah, but I have tremendous help, like, from family, work. I wouldn't be able to do it without them, like, you know, from... top to bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important, that community.
Yeah.
What helps you personally? Like, is there anything that you do? Let's say there's someone else listening that's just lost their wife or their husband. Like, what has helped you? Or is there anything that you find? Do you like to have time alone, or do you like to get away?
Yeah, see, I'm comfortable. I mean, I go for my walks on my Saturday morning and Sunday morning. Jack is at stage now where he's very independent, and you know, he's in ways he's older than he is. He's had no choice, really. You know, it's just the way it is. But he's comfortable, and we live in a nice place, and you'd be safe, and he's happy enough to spend an hour home because he's free reign of the house, and he can watch whatever tablets are. YouTube sequence. So that's my freedom, my walks on my Saturday morning and Sunday morning. So now I do with the GA on the Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's just started bringing him down anyway. Because I used to do that. She used to bring him because I was away from work for work. Like. So she'd bring him down. But then try to keep him involved in that, I brought him down and said, just for the sake of, said this to the lads, look, it says, I'm here. I said, there's nothing I can do to help out. We will. So that kind of fell into that one, but I love it. Like, the kids are just, you know, they're out there with the kids. There's an hour of
joy,
bit of fun and joy, and there's no shittiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe they helped me more than I helped them.
Possibly. Mm-hmm.
But the joys of life.
I hear people have asked me recently as well that they'd love to hear from people, like, you know, again, like I say, it's the what helped them, which I've just asked you about. But do you, I don't want to use this word, but I don't normally ask people, do you find with time it's got any easier? Now, I know I hate that question because, like, I don't think it gets easier per se, but what's your experience of it so far, if that makes sense?
No, actually, it thinks
gets worse, maybe, in a way.
Maybe it's just recency and just all that's going on with Jack, with the
change,
the big change with confirmation.
Yeah.
I guess I said the change to secondary school and all that takes, and you're down at the secondary school, like, they're super, it's a brilliant school. Like, if he's down, I think they've been down for 3 nights to see the school. They've had individual interviews, and there's constantly something that she should be here for, and that she's not here for. Like, we had his graduation a couple of weeks ago. And no matter what, he said, everybody's been so good. But still not the same. They just can't replace her. So, but you asked about, does it get easier? I'd say within those first 5 weeks, I passed the lady. And she had lost her husband. She's in the same estate. Not long after we moving into the estate. So that would have been 20 odd years ago. And she says, it doesn't get any easier. And I was going, like,
thanks for that.
Why would you say that? Now, like,
you understand.
That's what I said, what the? Yeah. But now I understand. So,
from the outset, you would look at someone and say, why would you say something like that? But actually, how nice of her, because she told you the truth. Yeah.
But, like, when I sit back and think back, like, my son's a bit funny, but. And I don't like the word grief and stuff. I just have it in my head that it's an older person's thing.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think deep down, we probably started
grieving,
in January 2020.
Yeah.
For sure. That makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Yeah. The second you get that news, it begins.
So maybe we're a bit
further down the road.
Further down the road than others.
I understand. Yeah.
So,
when you think of Audrey now, do you think of all the happy memories, or do you think of her in pain? Or
no, happy.
Do you?
Yeah. Happiness is there more. There's more happy, way more happiness than more pain. So we live through the pain. We don't need to keep that one.
Amazing.
You don't need to keep the pain. You don't need to be angry.
No.
Somebody said, I heard somewhere, like, angry being angry is a waste of energy that we could put somewhere else. I think it's a brilliant.
Yeah, it's now, true. Hard to do, but
that's easy for me because I know where it comes to the care that she got was second to none. And there was nothing
to make you angry, yeah.
Nothing missed, nothing that would say,
yeah,
how the fuck did not get that right and stuff like that. I'm comfortable that she got the best care that she could have got. That she did everything she could have done to fight it. We did everything she could have done to fight it.
Gives you a bit of peace.
That just some, yeah, obviously you still wish it never happened, but you know, if from the people you've had on,
yeah,
there's people that have had horrendous stuff.
Yeah.
You know yourself. And battles, like, you're thankful every day that we don't have that.
Okay, yeah.
Additional burden.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So,
that's a good reflection, yeah. Look, thank you so much for coming in. I found it very emotional. She's very sad, and I think you're a great dad,
a
great husband. And thank you for coming and sharing the story with us today.
Nice talk.
I think it'll help a lot of people.
Thanks yourself.
Thanks.
For doing what you do.